You are listening to sermons from Bethesda Lutheran Church. This Sunday was the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, and Pastor Steve preached from Ephesians chapter 1.
We spent the last couple of Sundays traveling with our high school youth, 12 young women who went down to L.A. and served, worked hard from early in the morning to late at night most days. And I know they worked hard because when I talked to their parents this week, most of them hadn't left the couch for the first couple days because they were worn out. But I want to talk to you, and part of this goes along with what Scott had just said, and some of it is this idea of identity, and where do we find our identity? As we drove around L.A., we drove around the worst parts of L.A. We were in Skid Row after dark, so much so that one night we had a man stop us on the street and say, "You are some brave white people being here at this time of night," which was a sign to me saying, "I'm thankful we're going back to our van and getting out of here." As a parent, I felt responsible for those 12 young women we had wandering through Skid Row so late at night. But what you see, and what I think most of the kids came to understand, is that for someone who is homeless, they've lost that sense of identity. They're not quite sure who they are. All of those things that we use to measure our worth in life, that we use to measure who we are as people, have been lost. So much so that some don't even have that identification card. As we did a little exercise moving around LA, looking for a job, what did you have for any job, to apply to any job in the area we were in L.A.? You had to have a resume. Well, how do you have a resume when you're sleeping on a street night after night? There's no sense of identity for so many people who are left there on the street. But now I want each one of you to think of yourself for a moment. I want you to think of all of the ways that you might define yourself. If somebody were to come up to you and say, "Who are you?" What are the kinds of things that you would say? Do you identify with the job that you do? Do you identify with the volunteer work that you do? Do you identify with the fact that you're a parent with children? How do you identify yourself? Think for a moment. How do you identify yourself? So since Scott got you warmed up, quiz. Here's your quiz. How many of you, as you thought of ways that you define yourself, how many of you did child of God pop up into one of those definitions? Good. Good. Okay. I think the missing hands that didn't go up, part of the problem we have in our world today, part of the problem we have with Christians in the world today, part of the problem that we have as people in the world today, is we don't identify ourselves first as God's children, first as God's people. That our first and foremost primary identification isn't in the one who has given us life, who forgives our sins, who has claimed us, named us, called us his very own. Because the truth is, when we identify ourselves in all of those different ways, when we identify ourselves with the job that we do, what happens when we find ourselves in the unemployment line, and that identity is gone? There are parents at this time of year who also have a transition to make when they go from having kids at home to an empty nest. If you've defined yourself by your children for so many years, where do you find your identity when they've left home and only call you once every couple weeks when they need something? Oh, they might not do that. Where do you find your identity? Sometimes we see it in those when the time comes in their life to retire, they no longer know how to identify themselves. because they're retired. Busier now than they ever were in the rest of their life, right? Yep. Some of you who are retired understand that. But what would it look like? What would it be like if the first identification we saw ourselves as is child of God? What would it look like if the first thing that we thought of each and every day is how God has called us his own? How God has set us free. Set us free from the bondage to sin. Set us free from so many things so that we can be a blessing out in the world. And here's a little bit of truth, I think. When we identify ourselves in all of these different ways, sometimes it holds us back. It holds us back from truly being free in Christ. It holds us back because we're thinking about, well, what would my colleagues say if they saw me doing this? Or what would my boss think if they saw me doing this? Or what would anyone think if they saw me out in the world living as a Christian each and every day? I think sometimes for those that are faithful, for those that believe in Jesus, some of the hardest work anymore in the world is to not be in fear of sharing that identity in the world around us. I sat the other day and, listened to the story, and all of a sudden their names just left my head. Carl and Marge's children who are in China. Keith and Laura, that's right. All of a sudden it just went, shoo. You've seen that happen to me once in a while. It just leaves my head. But here they are in a country where they're not allowed to speak out loud about their faith. But yet each and every day they live out that faith in the work they do. So that after a while people start asking them about their faith because they want to know why it is that they live the way that they do. Why it is they live in a marriage the way that they do. Because for so many people in China, they just don't understand how this couple works. Because it doesn't look like what they've been taught and what they understand and what they know. And so a conversation can begin. But I think if you've been paying attention to their story, they have to be really careful. Because if the government catches on to what they're doing, they'll be back here in America faster than any one of us, or they could be put in prison. I mean, there's lots of layers of things. Most likely they'd get sent home. But here we are, in a country that many have fought for the freedom, that we hold to that freedom in the ways we speak as patriots, the way we celebrate those days of historic importance. But yet the most important identity that each one of us have, we don't always feel the freedom to share it. Is that true? Is that true? Yeah, a few of you are shaking your heads. You understand what I'm talking about. I kind of wish I would have heard my wife's sermon last week. I didn't have time to listen to it. But I heard that at least some of you felt a little challenged by the words that she had to say to you last week. And, you know, I think the garage sale was hoping that you felt challenged because extra stuff would come in that they could sell to someone else. But the challenge is for us that if we can identify ourselves as God's people first, as God's beloved children first, then how does that change each and every interaction we have throughout the day? How does that change the way that we look at the people in the world around us each and every day? So you might hear this story again, but I think I'm free to tell it at the moment. One of our challenges when we were in LA were to take someone who was homeless out to lunch. We had each been given $4, and as the leader, I got an extra $4 that we could share lunch with somebody. And so the group of girls that I followed around downtown LA all day walking in circles, When the time for lunch came, they didn't find one person to take the lunch, but they found two. And then I proceeded to watch one of those girls do the most important thing that we can do as human beings. While the other girls went and got them food and got their own food and got everyone else's food, she sat at the table and she listened to their story. She listened to the high points in their life. She listened to the low points in their life. She listened to the things that got them out on the street where we found them that day. Because here's what happens when we listen to someone else's story. They don't become an identity of homeless. They don't become some person that we are afraid of, that we keep at an arm's distance. But they become human to us. And in their faces, we see the reflection of God. Because they too, despite their stories, their trials, their tribulations, are children of God as well. And so the challenge for each one of us is to live so secure in the one who has called us and claimed us and named us. To live so secure in our identity as God's children that we're willing to risk having a conversation with others. That we're willing to risk to listen to the stories of those around us. Stories that sometimes when you hear them, they sound an awful lot like our stories. We can hear moments where we think, you know what, had one thing gone this way and not the other, I could see myself in the place where they are today. But finding our identity in the one who gives us life, we are set free to be something more in the world. We are free to listen to the stories of others. We are free to stand up and speak out for what we believe in. We're free to have our eyes open with statistics as Scott shared them to us this morning. I know my eyes were open to that same issue when the Super Bowl was in Dallas. Because they had a whole article about it. Wherever the Super Bowl is held, the sex trafficking goes way up in that community, in that city. Which is a whole other thing to talk about for another time. But where can we find that peace? Where can we find that security? Where can we find that ability to claim that identity that we have been given? You see, those little waters of baptism, whether you were sprinkled a little bit, whether you were dunked in a river, God claimed you. God claimed you once and for all. And so we live each and every day trying to be that identity that God has created us to be. Trying to live free in a world that says we are free. Or where we don't always feel free to express who we are, to share who we are. But I think what I learned, I think what I remember, what I think we all need to remember, is sometimes the best witness we can give is to simply listen. Let the other person be human to us when they don't feel human. Let the other person be known by someone because their identity is lost. We are called to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world, but we need to be ears as well. Thanks be to God for claiming us as God's own beloved children, setting us free to be those people in the world. Amen.